are joined by Cleveland legend, Coach Mike Duncan. Mike is the all-time leading scorer at Max S. Haynes High School, was a two-time All-Ohio selection, and in 2002, he was selected as one of the top 100 players in the city of Cleveland's history. Mike is also the CEO of Ohio Basketball Club, and in 2020, he was named head coach of Bryant and Stratton's women's team, which he got the Region 12 Conference Coach of the Year award last year, so congratulations for that. We're excited to learn from his 37 years in the business. So welcome, Coach. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a long, man. My body is basketball beat up. But I'm, you know, it's sports running my family. You know, most of all, I got six other brothers. Most of them play basketball. So I just followed their lead and played basketball. Then I fell in love with the game, I'm going to say, in the sixth grade. Nice. That's when I started taking the game real serious. Like every day I was somewhere hooping, you know, and then as I got older, I was able to get on the bike. I used to ride a bike. Y'all not going to believe this. Almost an hour away to play.
Wow.
And then we'll play for like 5-6 hours outside. And I had to ride it back home. I was beat, but it was good. Cause then when I came home, I would just shower and go straight to bed. Cause I'm tired. So I think my mom really liked that because then I went a headache tour. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Too tired to be a headache.
Yeah, I was tired.
Were your brothers older or younger? Where did you fall in that?
I got six older brothers and one sister. It was all older. Nice. Yeah. The deal about it, though, they never gave me a break. They kind of made me better. They pushed me a lot. You know, we had a court in the backyard, and they used to kick my ass. You know?
Yeah.
I'm short compared to most of them. Most of them was, they was 6'5 and taller, all of them. I don't know why I ain't get that. I ain't get that height.
You ended up good enough. How did you do in junior high before you ended up at Max Haynes? Did you know kind of right away that you had that talent to score the ball? And
junior high,
did that come a little later?
I was like 40-some points a game in junior high.
Sheesh.
It was me and this guy named Bobby Jones. We had the city jumping. Like, everybody knew about Wilson Junior High School. We had it jumping, man. We used to put crazy numbers up.
Yeah.
You know, and Bobby Jones was a better player than me. So, we was putting numbers up. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Some games he'll have 50 and I have 20. We just changed it back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So, that's how it was. Wilson, huh?
You guys win a championship over there, Coach?
You know what happened? We was playing this school called Addison Junior High School, mm-hmm. and it was a snow blizzard, and the schools were shut down for a whole week.
Okay.
So they canceled it because it was supposed to be the week. And it would have been great because we had two undefeated teams.
Yeah.
We was undefeated, and Addison was undefeated. Addison had they had some kids. They might would have got us. I keep it real.
Yeah.
They was loaded. Addison was loaded. They had a kid named Kevin Catron. He ended up being a Division II All-American at St. Cloud State. It's in Minnesota. Yep. He ended up being an All-American.
Wow.
And they had a couple other kids. So I wanted that game because we were talking shit. Excuse me. We was talking mess all season. They was talking mess. And we were wanting to see who, when we meet up, who will win.
Exactly.
And yeah. So the crazy part, it was going to be at their school, too. And that was cool because that school was, like, Wilson was, like, 2 minutes from my house. Addison was probably, like, 5 minutes. So, you know, I knew everybody that was on Addison team. So, and then when it was time to go to high school, all them good Addison kids went to a school called East High. And it was begging me to come over there because that was my home school. But I got bused to Max Haynes.
Okay.
And that's the first year they had Boston and Cleveland too. The first year that I was one of, man, East High was so good at high school basketball. Oh, they were so good. They was loaded going to the championship game. And I was on a team that just wasn't that good. Like we finished like fifth place in the conference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'd have went to East High where I was supposed to have went, oh my God. I think that would have been a big difference.
Most definitely.
You know. But we made it fun in high school. I mean, Everybody, well, they was coming to see me, so it was going to be, back in them days, the Senate games was packed. So everybody was coming to see me put up numbers and and do my thing. So the games was still was pretty much packed. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And then was there a game, Coach, that was like one that really stuck out to you that, you know, that you had to play well in, that was a big game for you against some other big players?
We played a school called John Marshall. They had a kid that went, Harold Anderson, and went to Texas Pan Am America, that school. Mm-hmm. They had a kid named Dave Colbert, who went to Dayton. They had a kid named Head, who went D1. We beat them. We upset them. John Marshall, we upset them. Okay. They was like number two in the state at the time, and they came to our school. I think I had 35 that game.
Dang, yeah, okay.
But they we upset them. We upset the school, John Marshall. But back in the day, when I in the Senate, you had Oakley ranked. The Senate was loaded with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was loaded. Like Oakley was good. They was number three. They was ranked in the state. John Marshall was ranked in the state. We had Glenville ranked in the state, and we had John Adams ranked in the state. That's four teams in our conference ranked in the state. So that's why I didn't really feel bad finishing fifth.
Yeah,
yeah, because they had four teams that was ranked before us, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was good. That Senate back in the day, every game was sold out. Every game in the Senate was sold out. They used to be packed. It was great games. It was really just great games.
Most definitely.
Nice. Now, Max Hayes High School, that's a vocational school, right? Did you take up a trade, a shop while you were over there?
Man, I took up auto mechanics.
Nice.
And won't touch a car right now.
Sure.
Man, I don't even change flats, man. I done put 4 years at that school. Messing with cars, man.
That's funny. That's funny.
I love it.
That's always cool. Thankfully, you don't have to too much unless the AAU bus breaks down or something.
Yeah. That's cool. That happened before now.
So when did you kind of think you could take it to the next level in terms of going and playing college ball? Did you kind of know like right away in high school, or was that – you know, later in your career, you got some looks?
I went to Max Hayes. You know how to do the preseason stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big-ass article on me saying I was good enough to play college basketball, that D1 and all of that. And then I knew it before they even did the article, I was going to be good enough to play college, because that's who I played against. Mm-hmm. I played against guys that was better than me. You know, and then up there, when basketball is pretty big, they ain't let anybody just play, but they let me get on the court and play. So I kind of knew going into my ninth grade year, I was going to get a Division I scholarship.
Most definitely. And when, I guess, Coach, like during that process, when you started your recruitment, what was it that, you know, you kind of knew you're like, all right, I'm going to be able to start making my decision? Was it, you know, in your senior year, your junior year? When did you decide to make that choice?
My senior year, because I had a good friend named Damon Harris, 6'8". Mm-hmm. Everybody's recruiting him in the country. So me and him, and he's from Cleveland too, but we had decided that we was going to go together.
Gotcha.
You know, I was also in the process of joining Charles Oakley at Virginia Union. I was thinking about going there. I was, you know.
Absolutely. And then ultimately, then, I guess, what was it that made your decision? What was the final thing that you're like, well, this is where I'm going
to end? I got to go with my guy, Damon Harris. Yeah. You know, we was cool. We was good friends. I got a chance to go with him. So that was the choice, you know.
Absolutely. No, definitely. That makes sense. And then I guess then once you guys made that pass and you guys knew you were going together, what was the kind of the process to begin preparing, you know, as you guys were going to move on?
I stayed at his house. We'd get up like 4 or 5 in the morning. We ran, and then we'd just both go our separate ways. But then we'd meet back up like right about noon to do individual skill work. And then after that, we'd go up, he'll go home, or I'll go to his house and go to my house. And then we played in the summer league. It's called the Pro-Am League.
Okay. Like,
pros, and if you're in college or going to college, then we played in there. And they played it at this school called Cahaba Community College. and it was loaded. I mean, you had Oakland, it was loaded. You had Robert Hall and Marquette. It was loaded. If you was a top player, Brian Beamer from Notre Dame, Scott Roth from Wisconsin, Brad Sellers from Wisconsin, that league was loaded.
Wow.
So.
Were you running some pick and rolls with Big Oak?
No, Oakley wasn't on my team. I had Brian Beamer, 6'11 kid, went to Notre Dame. But he was sending me some good picks, and I'll give it to him. Brian Beamer was a pretty good player. Yeah, I think, you know, he did 4 years at Notre Dame. I never heard from him since. He played with Scott Roth was on his team, who got drafted by the Spurs back in the day. And now Scott Roth worked for the Spurs. He's a scout. But Scott Roth put the numbers up in Wisconsin. He put some nice numbers up. Probably like, I'd say his last 3 years, he probably got 20-something a game in the Big Ten. He could shoot, man. Lefty, he let it fly. Yeah.
Did you ever cross paths with Flip Saunders? I know he coached
my man,
Golden Valley for a bit. Oh, wow.
That's how I ended up in Minnesota my first year. I ended up in Minnesota because of Flip Saunders.
Nice.
Okay. Flip Saunders was coaching at Cuyahoga Heights High School. Uh-huh. He wanted to get into college, and he needed some players to bring to college with him. So that first year, me and Damon Harris went over there with him. Yeah, we went over to Minnesota that year, but then we left because of Trent. They got the death penalty. Uh-huh. What's his name? Trent. And then a guy from, the other guy. He killed him, man. He was taking so much. He killed the program, man. I can't think of the guard. He's from Dayton Dunbar. I cannot think of his name. Oh, my God. They got the death penalty. So then we left with that freshman year. But, hey, I'm going to tell you what.
Uh-huh. What's that?
We was going to be good as fuck if we wouldn't have got on probation. Man, they did a good job recruiting. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm going to tell you, Flip always took care of me from there. Whenever the Timberwolves play, he would always leave me tickets. Uh-huh. Or if I was in town, a different state, and they played there, he told me, he said, you come here, I will always make sure I look out for you. So I went there. Yeah. But I tell you what, that snow, bro, that shit was at my knees one day, and I was sleeping in bed. And I heard the sister coach banging on my door. You ain't in class. I said, you sure? He said, bro, you go to class on that. I was like, wow. That snow is crazy up there, man.
Yeah,
that snow is over the limit.
Definitely. It's a lot like Canada. Basically, might as well be Southern Canada, right? Like,
yeah.
Wow, man. Definitely.
So I left there and I went to school out in Oklahoma, you know, but the main thing is I honestly did love Minnesota. I didn't like the weather.
Yeah.
The weather was very, you know what I'm saying? And Flip ain't tell me all that though either.
I bet not. No, that's the part I feel like would be the deal breaker at times, because yeah, that weather is no joke. And having to get up early in the morning to get to class.
We ran in that shit. We ran. We did conditioning in the streets, even though it was snowplow. We still did conditioning, bro.
Yeah, I believe you now, because they're used to that weather, man, and like they don't stop fighting for it.
Every day, my socks were soaked and wet. Mm-hmm. The shoes was destroyed. Everything.
Did you? Did they ever give you guys coats or anything in your
Yeah, guys you get coats. Yeah, they gave us all that stuff back then. But we ran outside. They made us wear just hoodies though. Mm-hmm. We couldn't wear a coat. We had to wear the Minnesota hoodies. So we put the hoodies on. We ran out in the snow.
Yeah, that's a little cutthroat. I guess then that transition to Oklahoma, the weather was definitely a lot nicer then, huh?
I loved it, man. Only thing I ain't like about it, you jogging, man. You know, them dirt roads out there, they be having snakes and stuff, man. Yeah. That's what I didn't like, man. At nighttime, I never walked in there. I never left off campus to walk, never at night. It's crazy, man, but it was nice. It was, you know, my career ended good. I ended up averaging 16.5 as career. Mm-hmm. So I had a good career. You know, I'm still kind of mad at him a little bit because they didn't go nowhere until I got there.
Uh-huh. You want to explain a little bit about that? What happened?
I took us. No, yeah, we got to Elite Sweet 16. I took it the first time ever. Mm-hmm. I did so much. I got so many. They never retired. I don't even want to, because it pisses me off. I think I should have been retired. My number should have been retired on what I did. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I led in steals, assists. I was all defensive team. There's so much that I did. I thought that the school would retire my number, and they never retired my number. It's the funny thing, though. My junior high school ain't retired my number. My high school ain't retired. Everywhere I went and all that I did, my number never was retired.
Yeah, Coach, I think that's something we got to petition in, because
I don't even want that. If they call me to this day, I'm 59. I would not do it. None of
it. None of it. True.
I'm just, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely do, especially with all of you, what you've done for the game, especially.
Then I went back to my school.
Yeah.
The job was open. They wouldn't even give me the job.
Oh, wow.
It's a guy that I didn't know. It's a guy that the president, AD, whatever. I didn't know the president of the school when I went to try to get it. And I didn't know the AD.
Gotcha.
But they knew. They know they could go back and research my and everything that I did.
Right.
They didn't.
1,500 college points between Lutheran and Oakland Wesleyan.
Yeah. But they never, ever, my high school, they didn't even interview me. That's the thing that pissed me off. I didn't even get an interview. So I never stepped a foot in that gym.
Yeah,
you would think, too. I mean, with your AAU ties, that would be certainly a good situation to tap into, like be able to swing a kid to the high school.
Tell you. So I didn't get it. I was cool with this. So I did talk to them for like 15 years, and I looked, and they was terrible, like zero wins. I go to the AD. I say, look, I'm same dude. I don't need the job. I will have Adidas sponsor this whole school if you let me put the right guy in here to coach this program and win. He told me no.
What? Why? I don't understand. Like, why? Did he give you an explanation, Coach? Was
there? No. I mean, he just said that he don't want nobody to think they running it. That's his job as AD. So, and I hooked it up with Sonny Ficurl to help me build that school, too. Because at the time I was with Adidas, that's who I was working with. Definitely. So, he did. I said, look, I'm not trying to run it. You can run it. I just want to put a great coach in place and fully sponsor the team. He wouldn't go for
it. Yeah. Man. And that's like I say, that's that power struggle and trip on people that, you know, don't want to, you know, just give a little bit in order to get a lot back. Rather have, you know, take all the credit for it. So that's unfortunate.
So then when like my senior year in college, I came home in the summer. That's when I first started working with AU in 1983. And I was doing stuff with AU. It's a guy named Melvin Banchek. That's the guy that built and started Ohio Basketball Club, Melvin Banchek. So he asked me one day, he said, won't you come and just help me run some drills for the kids? I went in and I started liking helping. So every summer for the next 2 years that I came home, I worked with Melvin Banchek. And then when I graduated from school, I got cut. You know, I had a couple of trials with Sacramento Kings. Had about 3 NBA trials. I got cut. I'm done. I ain't good enough to be in the league. I ain't the type of dude that's going to sit and keep trying to make it year after year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So after the first year, I didn't make it. They wanted me to go overseas. I said, no. I don't know. They want. It's like right now, Naira's overseas. You know who Naira is. Naira Field. Yeah. They live with me.
Yeah,
she's like Michael Jordan over there. She mad because I won't come and visit her. I was like, girl, if I was gonna visit, I would play. I can't leave the United States. I'm never going overseas. Never, you know. She played in the Olympics and all of that. Yeah. It just ain't for me overseas. You'll never see me over there. So that's why I never really played overseas. So I just started working and started doing AAU and stuff.
Definitely. And Coach, what was some of your first teams? I know, like, you know, as you guys got started, who are some of your big
Joe games? Ray that went to Virginia. Michael Sims that went to Indiana. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Tony Miller that went to Marquette. Pete Sears that went to Xavier. Big Antoine Walton, he went to Florida A&M. Corey Milbert, who went to Howard. Man, shoot, I got
people everywhere.
Big kid that went to Penn State. Man, it was easy there because college coaches could come every day. Man, our practice used to be packed with college coaches. I mean, packed. They come every day of the week. That's when it was just open before all this crazy stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Man, we used to get all kind of college coaches from everywhere. OU, Kent, Bowling Green, Tennessee. You know, I had Orlando Pace that went to Ohio State, the Hall of Famer football player. Mm-hmm. I had London Fletcher. I had a couple. I had Joe Jurevicius, who won two Super Bowls. I always get football players because it makes the other kids tougher.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I always, even to this day, today, right now, I always got football players because they make the kids tougher. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then they ain't gonna let no other team bully you either. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So I always stay with that. Back in our day, AU was the greatest.
It was. Like,
it was the greatest. Like, oh my God. People played locally, they played with their local team. They weren't trying to go. Only person who went all over the place was Boo Williams back then. Okay. Cause you know, he had Kevin Garnett. We played him in the championship. He had Kevin Garnett on this team. Allen Iverson on his team. Joe Smith on the team. What's the guard from Wake Forest back that day? Man, he had all – his whole team went to ACC almost.
What?
And they beat us by 1 point. Allen Iverson had 51 against us that game. Reuben Patterson, who played in the league for us, had 36 that game. Man, we choked. All we had to do was hit two free throws. It was tied up. We had the line. No time. My guy missed both.
Oh, man.
And they went overtime, and they beat us in overtime.
Okay. What kind of defense were you playing, Coach? Was it a zone?
Same thing now. I play number all man to man.
Love it. Okay.
I mean, back then, that's all you played, and everybody talked junk back then. But it was friendly. You know, everybody was cool after the game. And stuff like that. It was very good basketball. It was back then. Everybody went trying to play on the next Joe Blow team. No, nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when Sonny Vaccaro seen us, he made me hustle to get the deal. Like, okay, you got all these good players. I need to see you do it again. So I do it again. The following year, like, I need to see. He wanted to make sure I could continue to do it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I did. And then just through AU through Sonny, I seen everybody play.
Yeah.
All day, because at that time, ABCD camp was the biggest camp in the country. I seen Allen Iverson play. I seen everybody attend this. I seen when LeBron was there. I seen everybody attend this camp. So I that was a joy just sitting there watching all the top players in the country play. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how I met Mike Brown. That's how we became best of friends. You know, he was the instructor, skill instructors at Adidas. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown was. And then I would always, after it's over, everybody go to lunch. I stayed because the college players was doing their skill work then. Yeah. So I was just staying in the gym. I wouldn't even eat. I'll miss lunch and I'd just stay and watch Mike Brown and them do skill work. And then one day he just came up, we just started talking. And we changed phone numbers and shit, we became the best of friends.
Definitely. Would you say that would Sonny Vaccaro or Mike Brown, would both of them kind of be your mentors that kind of like brought you up and, you know, kind of taught you the ropes of things?
Yes, I would say I learned a lot from Sonny. Just talking to him, he taught me a lot. He really told me about getting AAU. I didn't even know. We were just traveling plane. And then he was like, man, you got all these good players. You got Gary Grant. You should do A. And he wanted Gary Grant for his All-American camp. So he told me, and he helped me put an A. He told me how to put an AAU team together, how to run everything. So then I went to Melvin Banchek, the other guy that started it. Mm-hmm. At that time, he left because he started a law firm. His law firm is big time now. Gotcha. He left to start his law firm, mm-hmm. You know. So I just kept the name and kept everything going. And then I'll say I learned a lot from Mick Cronin too. I brought Mick Cronin from UCLA over to my team. So I'll say Sonny Mick Cronin and Mike Brown. Okay. Really helped me get it going. You know what I'm saying? Mick Cronin was so smart. Mm-hmm. And he was a high school coach in Cincinnati at the time. But his knowledge and how to build my program up and make it wider. Because before, he was just, you know, he's like, man, I'm going to help you build this. Mm-hmm. So then he would tell me, you got to do this, this, and this. So I did it. And then we just, anything I know, we just start blowing up, you know. But I care, but don't care about the rankings. My thing is, what I love to do, even right now, is get kids in school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I really love to do. And I love when they graduate, and then I still keep in contact with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It seems like, it definitely seems like that's what you do. And a lot of players, like even just on social media, you see like reaching out and, you know, saying things and, you know, giving back to the program. So.
Yeah, I got you, man. I got probably 15 working in the NBA and over 30 something working in college.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And kind of how I do it is I don't bring you on my staff to coach for OBC unless you're trying to pursue college or the NBA. Because then I know they're going to do the best for the kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? They want to show what they can do. So that I tell them that. You know, hey, you come here, this. And then they go work their ass off. You know what I'm saying? So this is year 38 coming up.
It's incredible. What do you think has been kind of like the biggest change in AAU, you know, since you started all the way back in 83? Is it like the internet that changed it, or the shoe companies kind of getting more involved, or?
Nike changed the game.
Nike.
No, I'm just being real. And it ain't nothing negative. You know, Nike changed the game and they want to dominate. And that's what it's supposed to be. So it ain't nothing against Nike, but Nike is powerful. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing like the Peace Jam. Just keep it real, be honest. Ain't nothing like the Peace Jam. They dominate it. You know, they come in full force for kids. The reason why I was able to keep all my kids, because most of my kids is from Cleveland.
Yeah.
So they gonna see me, talk to me every day. They know what they gonna get. When my guys come up from college, they know the workout they're going to get and the pickup games and the scrimmage games. So they know what they're going to get from me. And a lot of people weren't doing a lot of things that I was doing as far as AAU back in the day. They just have a team and they show up, practice, and play a game. And me, it was all year round. I seen them kids every day. We worked out and we trained every single day. You know what I'm saying? Posey came back, we worked out. Reuben Patterson, Earl Boykins. I mean, they came back.
Yep.
You know, and we played and we practiced and people got better. But one thing I like is they didn't take it easy on the kids. They made them, you had to earn it, you had to play. But all that is, like, I got 18 McDonald's All Americans. All that is why most of those guys became McDonald's All Americans. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, because they pushed them.
Yeah, I think that's what we have, like we're missing a little bit too with some of the older guys and mentoring young guys is
they're not coming back today, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're gonna get maybe one or two, but you're not gonna get like Aaron White came. I had so many people that came back. Mm-hmm. It's different because the agents got, you know, they got their own open gym with all the other pros and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't even come back home.
Yeah.
You know. Because agents got gems for them now. Like, right now, the hottest place is Miami and Las Vegas, the two hottest. Where all the NBA guys go in the summer. They go to Vegas or they go to Florida, Miami, Florida. Them the two hottest places. Ain't no other. I don't care. Well, nobody's in them the two hottest places. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
They got probably four or five different gyms in Vegas. You know, Asia got a gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I don't like AAU now. But I'm gonna keep doing it for the kids. It's wild. Everybody looking for the next LeBron. Ain't no next LeBron. Everybody looking for the next Rich. I'm serious. Not only looking for that, but they're looking to make money off kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I know people they charge, you want me to tell you? Yeah. They charge like $765 for the whole summer. And the team never leave the state.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, I know that.
And it's like 125. So imagine how much he making after, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You know what I mean?
That.
The money. Yeah, that's
I mean, I'm not mad. And it's none of my, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I look at parents and I'll be like, wow, y'all must got some serious money.
Yeah, I think one of the themes through your career, like you've said here, is you had a minor in teaching in college, right?
Yes.
You've always seemed to have kind of been like that teacher and taken on, you know, that role of guidance and mentorship as much as teaching basketball and everything. I saw an article from a few years ago. You're one of the few people to talk, exchange with Kevin Garnett, I guess, through the media and love to tell about it. Well, and that was actually about, you know, the whole AAU scene and stuff. You know, walk us through kind of what that whole situation was. I was kind of laughing because I was like, I didn't realize Mike was going back and forth with Garnett at one point.
Well, Garnett was just saying AAU was garbage and it wasn't no good. Yeah. But at that time, it really was good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad as it is now. So I told him, I said, you ain't say all that when you was traveling the world with Boo Williams. And you know, then he answered me back. We just thought, you know, it was cool. We just started talking about the situation. It wasn't bad at the time that he said it, though. Not like it is right now. It was getting a little bad. And he was just saying how, you know, how bad it. I hate when people, that he made his life off AU. Nobody knew who Kevin Garnett was. They, Boo Williams went and got him out of South Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But.
Didn't have to go to college.
Made though. Your life off of that. Don't hate on him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you see the both of you have that old school kind of cut from the same cloth, but you had differing perspectives at the time, and it seems like you kind of have come to his more side of it now that, you know, AAU's continued to evolve. Where do you see it kind of going next, you know, with the, you know, big-time programs, big-time AAU stuff like Overtime League starting? You know, is there going to be
– I'm fading away out of it. I got somebody that I'm training to take over.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I'm 59. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able to sit down, enjoy, and go watch. Now I can go watch some Nike events or some Under Armour events. So I'm kind of not really that much involved with it. Got a good guy that's gonna take over. He been with me for a while. He knows it. He runs my little program. He runs second grade through eighth grade.
Okay.
So most of those teams is ranked in. He does a great job. Most of those teams. It was ranked in the country, you know.
Yep.
So he does a great job. Very. So he's going to be taking over at some point.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. What's your take on have you followed much of the Overtime Elite League and all that stuff coming
yes,
up?
Yes.
What's your take on that kind of picking up 15-year-olds in the conference?
Those guys going in getting paid. They just offered a kid in 2024 $1 million. Yeah. He signed. Man. He just signed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
No. That's, in 2024, you know how many? That's what that's going to be. That'll be $3 million for him almost.
Yeah. Nah, I hope that they're able to, like, to, you know, do what they're talking about with just helping guys with money and making sure guys are able to invest it and, you know, start building something on it. And
I think we'll see. We'll see by the end of the summer. Some of them crying they broke.
Yeah, I know. That's what we're going to see.
But I think they are. I think they're trying to do a good thing. You know, the girls is trying to start one now. Did you know that?
No, didn't. Oh,
there's nice. Another girls league about to start.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to send that to you, the article, so y'all can read it.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that going to be Overtime, too, or is that a different company or not?
Not Overtime. Who was that? Oh, it's somebody else. And they kind of own it already. I guess they've been planning for a while lately. And so – I think it's going to start taking place next year.
Yeah,
so you know what? Another year.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a pro league.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, there's a few ex-WNBA players in that.
And I think that they need that, though, because there's only one, the WNBA. They need another. Well, girls that get cut off that team could fall down to that level.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, you know.
Definitely. And yeah. And Coach, what do you think, like, too, now that you know you're on the women's side as well, you know, as far as recruiting goes, would you say that recruiting is becoming a bit better, that there's more film for girls players?
Girls game is rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's nothing like boys game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's so much knowledge out there. There's so many women website. They put it on there. You know, they go watch the girls. It's free. You know, they don't charge like boys charge. They put it up because they're trying to get the girls out there. Mm-hmm. So I said it's about 5 good women websites you can go to, recruit off of there. They got the name, the school, you know what I mean? So what I did, I just developed a relationship with everybody, with the people that runs those sites, so I can get the phone number. It's like, man, I'm not going through so-and-so to get number. So yeah. I developed a relationship with the guys, and I got, you know, and stuff like that. So I ain't have any problem with any of the scouting service giving me the information. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. No,
but girls AAU was off the it is big.
Yeah.
No, but I mean big, mm-hmm. it's big time. You come in July, it's just like Sunny for Curl used to run time. 700 women team here. 700 women teams over there. Man, it is so big right now. Women basketball is big.
I love to hear that. I got a daughter, so I love to hear stuff like that. So that's awesome.
But man. You know, then you heard. I heard the NCAA trying to cut them back. Take some of the girls' July dates away, giving them one instead of having three. They talking about giving the girls. So they fighting it. They fighting it right now. A bunch of the AU, they got together. They had a Zoom, and they trying to fight it.
Absolutely.
I think it need to be fought. You can't have just one with all these girls. Coaches can't see enough in one recruiting period to me.
Absolutely. And that's why you see so many transfers too, because people are just in wrong.
Oh my God. So many bad. Mm-hmm. Like in this thing, it's terrible. With the COVID, college coaches take people words. I got the cold is this. You smooth talk to coach, your kid is terrible.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And coach, like just real quick, like as far as you know how you build, and you know, it seems like you're a master, you know, networker, and you're able to build relationships real quick. Would you say that like has been like the reason why you've had as much success as you've had throughout your career?
My deal is this: don't fuck nobody. Mm-hmm. I'd rather build a relationship. Everybody, you got people that act like I got God before. Guy act like he's really wanted to learn, and he went behind my back. Mm-hmm. Calling my players, you know, still is, I never gonna do that.
Right.
You know, you gotta have a relationship today. In anything you do, relationships are very, very important. Cause you never know. You met this guy, but then this guy knows somebody that can help you get to where you want to go quicker. You never know, you know, you never know what that line gonna be. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem with AAU, people trying to skip the steps to be successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want to pay a kid to come and play for them. And that ain't, you know what I mean? Then they just want to get all these good kids. And then by July, the kids done left because you had too many good kids.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then I seen a team last year. He had about 8-9 Division I kids. They didn't win a game in Adidas Circuit. Not one game.
Yep.
They went 0-12.
Jeez. Yeah, you know, and that ruins the experience for, honestly.
I don't. The deal with me, I don't have all Division I guys on my team. Because you need them Division II and Division III people who smart enough, understand the game, and willing to do the dirty work that some of the Division I guys I got ain't. I never had a complete team. Early on when I had Ruben, Earl, all of them went D1. But I'm saying, lately, I always have some Division II and Division III because they can contribute.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why people downgrading Division II school, Division III. It's a lot of them dudes in the NBA right now.
Yep.
You know.
So true. You know, and that's I like that too, because when I remember watching your teams and how you constructed them, it was really like that. And it was nice to watch. You know, you have guys that fill roles, and
yes,
but it's gonna be more like in college. So I think that you actually gave guys the real experience to what they were going to have to face moving on to the
but NFL. I was always truthful with them. When you come to me, I tell you, I said, look, man, you're a D2 kid. You're probably not going to get no D1 offers. So because you're on my team, don't think you're going to get a Division One offer. And then maybe a kid say, hey, right now you're D2, but you have a few things that maybe a few Division One schools may like. So they make some Division Ones may start recruiting you because you're playing with it. You know what I mean? The problem is everybody tell the kids, you this, you that, you this, you that, but then be honest with them. You know what I'm saying? Every kid is not a division. They cannot, you know, they tell the kid, come in. I got this kid in school. I'll get you and you played. And it's, you're just lying to a kid. Now you didn't lie to the parents. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And parents are so clueless. A lot of parents today is clueless.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely.
I mean, it's just, huh?
I was just going to say, it's definitely a tough situation.
Don't be surprised y'all see me in the league, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. I can get to the league anytime I want to go to the league. I'm not worried about that. But don't be surprised if y'all see me working in the league. Okay. You heard it.
Yeah. You've always been an expert, you know, coach and teacher and, you know, identifier of talent. Actually, I was just thinking back to when we met you and you were at that that Vegas tournament with Carlton Bragg and Maverick Rowan kind of leading your OBC squad. Thon Maker was one of the standouts there. And, you know, we watched him play your team a few times. They were running a zone where he was just flying all over the place. Were you, we were very high on him at that time. Were you as surprised as us that he's not like sticking in the league as a perennially great player or did you see something as an expert that we didn't see?
Maker?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Same.
No, his skill level was pretty good.
Yeah. He was crazy.
I don't understand. Why some NBA, maybe because he's trying to shoot outside a little bit too much or do too much on the outside, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And his game is successful. I'm going to say free throw line in, he'd be a killer. Okay. But when you're constantly going outside and your three-point percentage is 30-something, no, not a big, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then he's just not tough. I am, you know, he was with Cleveland.
Yeah.
I am surprised that he didn't make it. I'm very, very surprised.
Yeah, that was certainly one of the top prospects.
His guardian was crazy, though. he wouldn't let nobody get around him to make him better. Nobody get around him to give him information. When you have things like that, that's a failure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a straight failure. I mean, you could let the kid listen, and then the kid will come back and tell you if it's worth or if it isn't. You know what I'm saying? But he stayed around that kid, and it was down.
Yeah, doesn't let them make their own decisions and kind of, you know, let their career play out. People that are trying to help. So now that makes
sense. I've got a question for y'all. Yeah. Tell me. What you think about AAU in this day and age?
I mean, I liked it when I played it. I played it a long time ago, and probably not near with the level y'all played it at. But
AAU was AAU. It gave you an opportunity to get better, get a scholarship. I hate when people say that. All the people that's in the league or getting paid, they all the Premier League AAU teams. That's what the kids, they got to understand. If you're on an AAU team and it's not elite, like sponsorship, but you're doing your thing and you're killing, stay there.
Yeah. Facts.
Stay there. College coaches will do their job and find you. That's the problem. Then these kids leave their team and they go to one of these elite teams and they average to below. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That's why I don't like it right now.
I think all AAU is good for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you out of trouble. It's getting you better. Give you an opportunity to get a scholarship. You will never ever hear me belittle an AAU team. Never. Because it's an opportunity.
Yep.
They can be doing something.
Just play all year round.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Nah, facts.
You know, it's getting a little hard too, because a lot of people want to play football. That football stage is different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of kids that probably shouldn't focus on basketball. I mean, football. They need to focus to be really great. But then they play football. Then you got the football coach messing you up in AAU. You got to come to the workouts and And then in July, they got the football camps and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's that's a lot of tutoring between exactly, you know, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know? But, hey, you still out here giving opportunities.
Facts. And that's what I love about it. You know, kids are still able to hopefully, like, move on and play and can get with actual adults that want to help. And that's, like,
yeah,
the point and why I love it. So, but yeah, I mean, heck, what did for this season? How does the squad look? What are you are you guys excited?
I'm not really doing anything. They doing everything.
Oh yeah,
I told you I'm stepping back. All I'm doing is trying to make sure the financial end and everything is okay. My new guy, Winston Gray's his name. He's doing that. He's checking with them and seeing who they recruiting, who they need to go after, and all of that. You know, I mean, I'm gonna still promote it as on my website, but I'm really not, you know, coaching or really seeing any teams. You know what I'm saying?
How about with Brian and Strand with the women's team? How are y'all gonna look this year?
We got 9 freshmen. We still should be okay. We should be in there. We should be in there. We got some pretty good players, but the OCCAC our conference is tough. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a dog fight. You know, I think last year we caught a lot of teams off. They thought we was gonna be shitty. We ended up 11-1. We caught a lot. We ain't catching nobody off guard this year.
This year, yeah.
Definitely. We're not catching teams that's preparing for us, and then, you know, then once we get ranked, it's kind of our team energy went to a whole nother level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know teams looking for us. They come to chop our head off. You know, we're gonna do the best we do. We're gonna be prepared. One thing we do, we will be prepared. You know, and I use Brian Stratton same as I use OBC. Mm-hmm. I got some kids in there. I come to the house. I sit at them. I say, I look parents in the eye and I tell them, your daughter come in for 2 years. Listen to me. Follow my instructions. I can guarantee you, I'll get her a scholarship. You know, and I tell them that's what all I'm about, you know.
Yeah.
So my idea as far as JUCO still is the same with AAU, put them in school. You know, like last year I had 7 girls that got a 3.65 or higher. You know, I got more this year. We got freshmen that's kind of liking school, so we should have even more, you know. Mm-hmm. That's all my life is just about. My life bit is over. My life was over when I didn't make the league. So my life from that time to is always to help other people, you know, reach their dream, live their dream. You know what I'm saying? And that's fine. You know, I'm okay. I don't even talk about, like, my girls be asking me, man, you had 68 one game. And I play it off. And, you know, people come up to them, you play for Mike Duncan. Oh, my God. And they come in and I don't even say nothing. You know what I'm saying? My time is over. It's someone else's time for them to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't even talk about my nothing to none of them. My time is up. It's the next kid, 16, 17, somebody else's time to do their thing, to hopefully, you know, get a degree, graduate, and start a career.
Definitely. No, that's admirable. What was it like coaching through COVID? Obviously, you didn't do too bad. You ended up winning a Coach of the Year award and everything. Man, how did you adapt to that experience?
I got it during the season. I got COVID, man. Oh.
Don't want to hear that.
Oh, the worst part, I had it for a month. I ain't had it for 2 weeks. Ooh. I was out. I was in the hospital. I had it for a month.
Dang.
It was a wake-up call. When they started giving shots, you knew I was there.
Yeah.
I took my shots. It was weird playing game because you had to wear your mask. You had to sit in the same seat. You had to use the same towel, the same water bottle, and all of that. It was weird, you know what I mean? Day before game, we had a couple games canceled. The day we supposed to play a couple, girls on the team had got COVID, so we had to cancel. No, we had to cancel games. We canceled a lot of games. Yeah. You know, we only play, like I said, we played a total of 13 games. Mm-hmm. Regular season, not the playoff, but it's tough.
Yeah. Like
every day you never knew if you had a game that day.
Yeah.
And we drove 4 hours one day, and they found out, like, when we got there, the girl had it. You know, I was so fucking.
Oh,
I was so
been in the car with her the whole time.
Oh man. No, he just called us. He would call as we drive in there, he was calling us, still waiting for the results, still waiting. Okay. We ain't heard back from him. So you know, we drove up there and got there. It was the results came back.
Dang. Yeah. Now the whole year was definitely a mess, and you know, coaches were having to figure out and scramble. So I'm glad y'all played those 13 or 12 games that you said, and then also you know, had that opportunity in the tournament and everything. So is there Coach, is there anything that you would want to leave, any of our listeners, a little bit of advice maybe for some players coming up or some young coaches that are working to climb the ladder a little bit?
Work hard. Mm-hmm. Work hard and go to school. And be humble. If you do those three things, your future will be very bright. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Work hard, go to school, and be humble. Because there's people out here that's willing to help those that's doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? And people out there, you know, to me, being humble is the best thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Being humble. Like, look at one of the most humble kids that I know now. Got drafted. He with Dallas. Carly Jones is my kid. Uh-huh. He a rookie. He made Dallas team. Most humble, quiet kid. You know what I mean? He went to Radford. Uh-huh. And then his last year, he went to Louisville.
Yep.
He's the most humble. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of these people is not treating, they're not telling the kids to be humble. They want them to be cocky. They're just to get on the internet. You know what I mean? I tell all my kids, just be humble. Yep. Don't worry. I tell them, I'm going to get you in school. If that's the last thing I do, I'm going to get people in school. There's other people out there like me. I am definitely not the only person that knows that it's about getting people in school. Let me make that straight. I'm not going to. There's plenty of good people out here in this AAU game, you know. But my main thing is work hard, be humble, be nice, and then everything come through.
Yeah,
definitely. There may be plenty of people out there, but you're definitely one of the best to ever do it. So don't sell yourself too short there. But
thank you.
What made you decide to kind of switch gears and go into more of a college coaching situation as you slowly retire-ish from OBC?
You know what really happened? My friend was coaching the men team. Mm-hmm. So he was like, man, you should come over here. This girl team is only winning one or two games a year, and they looking for somebody that could turn this around. So then I said, I ain't even doing that shit. You know what I mean? I got my own business. I don't work. So I'm at home all day doing nothing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I said, let me give it a try. Then I end up liking it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thing about college, it's a lot of work, man. It ain't easy as people think. It's a lot of work, you know, because everybody trying to get them play. JUCO is tough, too, because everybody trying to get the players. You know, it's not as easy as people think. They think it's easy. It's not easy, especially JUCO, when everybody think they Division I. It's really, really hard. You know, it is. Like, most of my recruits come after the summer signing period, after they realize they won Division I or they didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I may get three or four right now, but the majority of mine come doing after the signing period in April, after they realize they didn't get what they're supposed to get. It picks up, you know.
Definitely.
But I love basketball.
Definitely. That's for sure. Basketball.
I love it. I breathe it. And that's all I watch now. I don't watch no movies, no nothing. Like in my man cave in my basement, I got five TVs down there. They all be on something different. I got a nice man cave, though.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up, Coach. It's like a serious, serious man cave. Seen some pictures online of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody tell you, I don't watch nothing but sports. Mm-hmm. Baseball, football, I don't watch no movies. I ain't been to the movie in about 20 years. I ain't watched no TV series, no TV thing in about 25 years. Man. I'm just all sports, man. That's it.
Andy and I joke about that all the time. Someone will ask us about some, basic, I guess, pop culture knowledge movie or something. I don't get the reference, man.
Man, I don't, yeah. But
You said you have your own company. Is that Dunk and Associates? Is that the company you're referring to there? Walk us through that. How did you end up starting that and going off? It's not really a basketball company as far as I understand, right?
I don't know that. Let me tell you what happened. So I retired from the Cobb County Board of Mental Retardation.
Yep.
So Mike Brown told me, he said, get it, you still young. Get another, buy your little business, live off of there. Take your retirement checks and never cash. So right now, 7.5 years I retired. I haven't touched one retirement check. Mike Brown gave me that idea. So I live off the, the cleaning business. So that's what I live off of. I got people that, I don't work, people work, they go clean buildings and everything. But Mike Brown gave me that idea. He said, do not touch a retirement check. 7.5 years, I haven't touched one check.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that advice, man. I need to get somebody like
that. Mike Brown gave me some great advice, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, man. You know, I get like Steve Kerr. I talk to most of my boys work for the Knicks and Detroit Pistons. I call people, man. Mm-hmm. I call, just talk. Like, I ain't seen somebody talk to you in a while. I'm going to call you.
Yep.
Because you made a difference in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't all just me, y'all. Let me let you know. It's a lot of people that helped me make it and get where I am today. It ain't just me. Trust me, I'll tell you. It's a lot of people. You know what I mean? But that's why I always tell people, make friends.
Yeah.
You know, make friends. Right. And then they got friends. Then they got friends. Now you just in a good culture system. You see what I'm saying? And that's how it ended up with me. That's why I know most of the coaches in the league, because of Mike Brown, Kobe from the Cavs, Steve Kerr, you know what I mean? Rudy Tonovich, I know them. And my man, he's sponsored by Adidas. The Mavericks head dude.
Oh, Jason.
Kid or Carlisle?
No, the head, the owner.
Oh, Mark Cuban. Cuban.
Mark Cuban, he's an Adidas guy. So he used to come to the Adidas meetings. I mean, I call those guys. I talk to those guys. You know what I mean? Like Mark Cuban gave his number out. So y'all ever want to just talk or learn? You know, I'm calling. You ain't got to tell me, you know. That's what I'm saying. This ain't all just me. There's so many people that helped me make it and be so successful that it ain't, man. I try to tell people that. Don't burn bridges. Do not burn bridges. You burn this bridge, how you know he don't know the guy, somebody else that you just met? You know what I'm saying? So I try not to burn bridges at all.
And stuff. I mean,
I got people that don't like me, but that's because of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they hate me. I don't hate them. So hey, that's on you. You know.
Yeah, there's been we've had a few European pro kind of basketball players on and stuff, and the amount of times that their stories or their basketball journeys were continued because of some old coach or old teammate or something or associate that had some opportunity here or there to keep it going in terms of their basketball careers. It's definitely good advice to keep passing on.
No, it is. It is. You know, my main thing is, like, I've been off of college jobs for the last, probably 15 years when I was younger, by everybody. And I was like, nah, my call from God is to help kids. I mean, that's a lot of money. If you knew the schools that would recruit me, and I turned it down, but I just always felt my call from God is to help kids.
Yeah, that's the teacher minor right there. No. still staying true through this day. Did you ever think about going into teaching or anything like that?
I tried to do it when I graduated, but there was no jobs. There was no openings, you know. And I didn't try to serve a school. I wanted to be involved in the city because I wanted to make a difference in the city with the kids. And there was no jobs opening when I graduated. So I said I'd do 2 years at the county. And then once I ain't get it for 2 years, I said, I'm retiring in the county. I'm gonna retire here. I ain't going job to job, and you gotta start your retirement over. So I always had a plan. So then after 2 years, I just stayed in the county. Worked it 36 years, got out of it. Like I said, from there, it's just history. You know. Retired from the county though.
Yeah.
Open me up to more things, Adidas things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was able now to run a Sky. I ran a Scotty service for like 7 years, a big time Scotty service. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Had over 130 schools would get my service and all that. Then I just had people that I was hiring was going behind my back trying to steal my service, steal my. They ain't getting the coaches, but they thought they would. You know what I'm saying? So right. Then I really just couldn't find no true person to work, and I just shut it down. And I'm cool with it because that was extra money, but I was good with it. Right. I ran a good concert for 7 years.
Definitely. And how did you get that started, Coach? Like, how was that process? How does that work?
Well, I see kids. What I did was I was sending out to colleges, coaches that I knew personally. I would call, oh, no, we're getting you. Yeah, send me your form. You're a good guy. You're great, that. And the ones that didn't really know me, I sent them examples. Gotcha. You know, I said, this is my report. I'll mail it to you, and you'll get it online. Mm-hmm. So I gave them, I gave them a free password and everything, and a lot of them liked it. You know, the thing about the scouting service and the thing that I had to tell my kids, because I run the scouting service, that don't mean you're going to be ranked high as you think you should. You know, you got to really be real with the kids. A lot of people just ain't real. A lot of my kids, like I told Division II, they weren't up there, you know. Mm-hmm. But my scouting service never went public. That way I keep peace with my players, the parents, and stuff like that. So mine was just basically for college coaches.
Gotcha. You
know, I may throw like a ranking out. He's going to top five player. I don't throw like head of the top 20, 30. I thought like maybe 5 or 10 top players and stuff like that. But one thing I'm not doing is putting it all out there.
Do you have any stuff coming up? Any sort of like camps or anything?
I do nothing of that. I'm done.
It's just the Brian Stratton.
I don't got nothing coming up, anything like that. What I've basically been doing, I go to maybe Ohio State practice, West Virginia practice. School's just close because West Virginia's only 2 hours and 15 minutes from my house. It's closer than Ohio State. So I go to like practices and watch practice. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You ever pop in with Coach Calhoun at Youngstown? I know he was an OBC guy. He came through you.
Yeah, that's my guy always. I love that guy. Always.
Yeah, he's good.
Always my guy, man. Yeah. Shit. You know, I just went out to UCLA recently because, Mick came for me.
Yep.
Mick Crum. Yeah. So, man, he did big things there.
Yeah, boy.
He did it before he thought he could do it. He told me in 2 years because he had a lot of soft key. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Mick Cronin's type. Yeah, not Mick Cronin's type.
Nah, but he got it right. They turned. So he got it. We got a very good team this year. He should do very, very well.
Hell yeah. Excited about them, see if they can make another run. So,
all right, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, Coach. Like, honestly, thanks for taking the time today for doing this. Sorry, it was a little confusing, but I really appreciate you coming on.
Hit me middle of the season, like February, you won't, because then my season, we can talk a little bit, okay?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely appreciate your time, Coach. And,
God bless y'all. Later.
All right, later, Coach.